Well, and it's great to hear the organ again. At this point in time, we want to bring some announcements forward. There are a number listed in your bulletin. Are there any other announcements? Yes, Joan.
Name, correct. And we have forms to fill out that will be, you can fill them out and put them in a jar down in Fellowship Hall. And we will have a drawing on Vacation Bible School Sunday morning up at the mountain. And I really would like a very unique name, not Leo. No, Leo is out. But something really, really different. Okay, you think you can make a name for baby lion? Everybody can do it, right? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Joan. If you use the restrooms upstairs, please take a second to remember that David Wallace resurfaced and refinished those doors for us. And so they're really nice, but pay attention to that as you come and go. One other announcement that's not in the bulletins is the early bird registration for the fall feast has been extended. So for those of you that have procrastinated maybe a week too long, you're still okay. But we want to get the names and numbers in for that, if you would, please. So please put that on your schedule for late part of September as well. Are there any other announcements? Come before the congregation. You need to think of worship as a physical act, not just a presence, but a physical act. Some people raise their hands to God, but in our church, we start the worship service with not only lifting our hands, but we pass the peace. We shake hands, we give each other hugs. And at this point in time, let's stop, check in with the people around us, give everybody a welcome, and then we will sing the opening hymn, The Old Rugged Cross, verses 1, 2, and 4 in the hymnal 548. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Just a handshake. Good morning. Good morning.
I got my name.
What?
I got the name.
You do? What is it?
Detroit.
Detroit?
Detroit.
Hey. Hey. No, 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 no. Listen, every name is good. There you go.
Okay.
All right. And then you can just give it, fold it up real tight and give it back to me. Okay? Yeah.
I said no, no.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. How unusual is that?
I guess. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm here.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Good morning.
Good morning. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning,
lady. Good morning, lady.
Oh, how are you?
Your husband was searching for you earlier.
Oh, I was in the back.
Yeah.
Getting wired. Oh, I think they've got me on.
Oh, there
they do.
I guess he can.
I don't see him now.
He's up there.
Oh, there he is.
I have to go tell him to turn me off.
Is this lion thing?
One of the things that I failed to do was introduce Libby this morning. She has been with us before, but at the end of the service, be sure you take a second and check in. I'll have her at the back door with me as we exit the congregation. Let's start our singing with hymn 548, The Old Rugged Cross, verses 1, 2, and 4. Please join me in the call to worship. Come, listen to the word of the Lord. Proclaim the goodness of God's love. Come, now is the time to worship. Lord God, thank you that we are unable to save ourselves and that each time we try, we fail. Have mercy on us. Be the strength in our weaknesses. Clear our heads of the foolishness of believing we can be our own gods. Stir our hearts to utter dependence on you through the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thine name.
This day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
Please be seated. Our hymn of praise this morning is Fill My Cup, Lord. It is in our hymnal number 351, and we will be singing verses 1 and 3. Ready, Joan?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready for you.
Are you all ready? Come on, kids. Ooh. Ouch. All right. Who are the kids? All of us. Well, then why are you sitting down? You know the drill. Who's brave enough to come forward? Hi there. Yeah. I think we can sit. Well, should we stand or sit? Should we make them stand? Oh, did you hear that? Out of the wisdom of a child, she wants you all to stand. And that's appropriate for what we're going to do. In Vacation Bible School, we're going to be dealing with prayer. And you brought up something about praising and prayer. How do you pray? Show me. Everybody show me how you pray. What? How do you pray? Put your head down. Anybody put their head up? Oh, I see something. Anybody pray like this? Anyone pray like this? I don't see it. Anyone pray like this? Anyone pray sitting down? Pray standing up? How many of you pray lying down on the floor? Very nice. Would you show us? No, I'm just joking. I wouldn't either. What? Oh, I see. So you're flat on your back. What about if you're laying on your stomach with your arms out? Anybody do that? Have you ever seen it? Yeah. Do you remember what I brought last week? A giraffe. What's special about that giraffe?
It has a long neck.
Yeah. It has a long neck and a long tongue. Anything else you remember about the giraffe?
It doesn't speak.
It doesn't speak, right. And why did that giraffe be special to me? What did it remind me of? My favorite verse?
Calm.
Calm your mind. Calm your tongue. Calm your thoughts. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. So when we talk about prayer, it's not just doing this or this or this. Well, it could be this. Come, Lord, into me. Could it be that? Think so? Not sure. Could it be this? It's being silent first and listening to what God might have to say to us before we start giving him our to-do lists. Do we make to-do lists to God? Yeah. And when we go back to class today, yes? Yeah?
It's very funny. My sister, she was praying to God, and then she gave her Halloween list.
Oh, well, you know what? I think God likes that. He'll listen to any list we want to give him. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Yeah, he'll listen to anything that we want to give him. And now I totally forgot what I was going to say. As we go into our class, we are going to learn about something special praying this way that you can share next week, okay? And I bet they don't know it. Keep it quiet. It's a secret until next week. Okay, let's have a little prayer. We're going to bow our heads. You don't have to fold your hands. You can hold on to the person next to you if you'd like. There you go. All right, repeat after me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we are here today to praise your holy name. And thank you for the love that you give us.
Thank you for the love that you give us.
And the life you have shown us in Jesus.
And the life you have shown us in Jesus.
We ask now that you help us silent our minds. Help us to listen to you.
Help us to listen to you.
So that we may pray.
So that we may pray.
As you would like us to pray.
As you would like us to pray.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, kids, let's go. All right.
At this point in time, we ask that the congregation bring forward prayers of the people, items that you may feel we need as a congregation to pray for, friends, relatives, situations. I've been given a couple notes. Cal Decker is in the process of determining whether he's going to have back surgery. He's trying injections first and see if that brings relief, and if not, they're looking at surgery. Monica is going to therapy for her broken hand, suffered when she fell a while back. Are there any other prayers that need to be brought forth? Mike. Not quite as adept at this as Cynthia is, so give me a second here. Yes.
Wow.
Let's take a moment in silent prayer as we bring our individual thoughts and concerns before God. Our Father, we pray this morning for concerns of our congregation. And as we pray to you, please recognize that these are prayers for others. Be with us and guide us as our young people travel for scouting, summer camps. Be with them as they learn and give all of us safe passage as we move through our lives. Be with our family members as they sustain life-threatening illnesses. Give them strength and courage. Be with us as a community and a culture. Help us to learn to live and interact and work better with each other. Find ways to help rather than to hinder. Give us patience as we wait for your hand to give us healing from pneumonia and other illnesses and diseases. Be with Wanda. Be with the Yetter family as they work through their struggles. Help all of us to find ways to reach out. Lord, throughout history, you have used the weak, or seemingly weak, to nurture justice, to fight poverty, and to walk bravely toward human thrones of power. Help us to proclaim another way. Help us to find comfort and hope in our afflictions, knowing that you are able to use all things for yours and our good. Amen. At this point in time, we will have our communion and offering. It will be continue to be a joint activity, so to speak. As you come forward, you can either have communion through the trays, the cup and the bread, or you can do it by intention. And there are offering trays up front, and there's an offering tray at the back for you to bring your tithes and offerings today as well. The table of bread is now made to be ready. It is a table of company with Jesus, and all who love him. Everyone is welcome at this table. It is a table of sharing with the poor of the world, with whom Jesus identified himself. It is a table of communion with the earth in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who have little, and you who would like to have more. You who have been here often, and you who have not been here for a long time. For those of us that try to follow Jesus, and for those of us that have failed. Come, it is Christ who invites us.
the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and having given thanks, he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant of my blood. Do this often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. Our everlasting God, we pause to praise you and give thanks for the bread of life, which we receive here at the table of communion. Our thoughts turn to Jesus as we remember his sacrifice on the cross for all people everywhere and for all time. May your presence, O God, be made real to us in the breaking of the bread. Hear our prayers for renewal of our lives. Bless our daily efforts to serve during this coming week. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord God, we rejoice in your resurrection and in your promise to return. Help us live today as people who await the fulfillment of your kingdom. Bend our knees to the hard work of prayer, worship, repentance, and intercession. Help us to hear your word. Help us to use our efforts, our time, our talents, our treasures towards the work that your Son led us to. Give me neither poverty nor riches, Lord, but bread for today and hope for tomorrow.
The scripture reading today is John 13, verses 21 through 30. Right? I hope that's the right one. Okay. John 13, 21 through 30. After saying this, Jesus was very troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And after he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him, and Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night.
I am a relatively new mother. My daughter Harlow just turned 1 year old on July the 3rd. And she has begun to live into the legacy of her last name, which is Hugus, but it is spelt Hugus, H-U-G-U-S. Her great-grandfather, Harold Hugus, was known for his legendary hugs. You couldn't come or go from his presence without one of these hugs. Harold's grandson, my husband, Jeremy, also lives into this legacy, giving hugs that warm the heart. Harlow has already learned the art of the neck squeeze, bear hug, complete with a gentle shoulder pat and the appropriate noises. Have you ever noticed that when you are near enough to someone in that kind of an embrace that you can literally hear or physically feel their heartbeat? I was glad when our midwives warned me that when Harlow was a newborn, her breath would be very irregular, that this is typical of newborn babies. And when I needed assurance that she was okay, I would place my hand on her chest or on her back so that I could feel her heartbeat, even if her breath was irregular. I will never in my entire life forget the sound of hearing that sweet, little, incredibly fast-beating heart for the first time when she was still in utero on that miraculous sonogram. A friend rejoiced with me and remarked, "Isn't it incredible that that is the same heartbeat that is going to beat for the next 80 years, give or take 10 years?" I was entirely flabbergasted. Let's take a minute this morning to surrender our time of exploring the scriptures and God's spoken word to us, both spoken and unspoken, revealed and searching. Let's take a minute to pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Heartbeats are, of course, central to our existence. Without one, we die. Without the pumping of that miraculous cluster of muscles and valves, there is no exchange of carbon monoxide in the lungs for oxygen. There is no production of new oxygen. There is no opportunity for what Barbara Brown Taylor has called the little death, the death and production of new life with every intake of oxygen and exhaling of carbon monoxide. When Harlow is giving me one of her precious bear hugs, we are in the optimal position to hear, feel, and listen for each other's heartbeats. When I was participating in the miracle of sheltering and nurturing her in my womb, my heartbeat became for her the rhythm of her existence. She became so familiar with my heartbeat, with my breathing, and that primary beat that secured and guided her own existence. It was the beating of my heart, of course, that provided the oxygen that she needed through that miraculous organ, the placenta, that we shared. It's no wonder that babies simply want to be close to their caregivers once they're born. They need to hear that guiding heartbeat. They need to understand that connection, that security line to their providers. It's in this posture that I would like to offer another way for us to practice the gift of Sabbath rest that God has invited us into, this posture of listening for the heartbeat of God. In the Gospel according to John, which was read for us this morning, John often refers to himself brashly, confidently, however foolishly, as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's kind of a daring thing to claim this kind of love. I'd like us to consider this passage this morning as John refers to himself yet again as the one that Jesus loved. And as a prompt for where this particular scripture is, we actually find ourselves in the middle of Jesus' final night on earth. And there was this meal that was shared between the ones that he had journeyed with very intimately and closely for at least 3 years, the ones that he called his beloved disciples. In this scripture, we hear that Jesus himself was greatly troubled in spirit, and that the disciple whom Jesus loved was reclined next to Jesus. And it was from this reclining position that he asked Jesus the question of who it was that was supposed to betray him. It wasn't uncommon, of course, in the Middle East during this time for meals to be shared on the floor and in the reclining position. So John's dinner posture that night was not the odd thing. From this position, it was very important that he was reclined next to Jesus. Have you ever found yourself in a reclining position next to somebody that you love? Perhaps as a parent or a sibling or a child, a friend or a romantic partner. Perhaps you've been sitting on the couch listening to music or watching a movie, snuggling in bed. And from that place of snuggling, it's easy to lay your head on the shoulder or the chest of the one that you love and to listen for that heartbeat. It's a posture of intimacy, a posture of calm and vulnerability and quiet restfulness. It's a posture that indicates safety. A posture where you are known, a posture where you have to trust the other person and they have to trust you to be reclined, to be able to listen for their heartbeat. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was able to spend some time in retreat in the city of Driggs, Idaho, which is on the backside of the Tetons. And my mother-in-love, as I like to call her, not my mother-in-law, came along to care for my daughter. And then about halfway through the week, my husband and father-in-love showed up after a little bit of time hunting in the mountains near Du Bois. And one afternoon, we were just sitting enjoying each other's company, and my mother-in-love snuggled up next to my father-in-love and placed her heart on her shoulder. And without prompting, she said to him, "Do you remember how your mom used to do this to your father?" Jeremy's grandmother, Wilma, used to say she was listening to her husband's ticker to make sure it was ticking correctly. I I find it interesting how, in this particular episode in the scriptures, where the beloved disciple is reclined next to Jesus, and how he recounts this story, the context of this story, of course, as we heard earlier, is betrayal. It's a painful contrast. One disciple who knows himself to be loved by Jesus, and another disciple who, for whatever reason, must have forgotten how loved he truly was. A disciple who would choose betrayal as his life's path. Now, there's much to be discussed theologically about the betrayal of Jesus by Judas. We don't have room this morning to necessarily unpack all the parts of this discussion, but I will simply state here that it is impossible to know what Judas' motives were for betraying Jesus. There's some very interesting scholarly work around this that suggests that Judas' motives were multi-layered. They weren't just to turn Jesus over to the authorities and to be rid of him, but perhaps to incite a revolution in which Jesus himself could show himself to be the hero, the supreme, the powerful, the one in charge. And what a hero needs is a threat, and what a threat needs is a public arrest. According to Matthew's version of this story, when Judas sees that Jesus has been condemned, he returns the silver that was given to him, and he repents. We typically don't remember Judas as the repenter, do we? He gets labeled as the betrayer. His actions, however misguided and devastating in their consequences, were perhaps intended to be something other than the condemnation of Jesus. Perhaps Judas was just hungry for a revolution that would end all the religious and political confusion once and for all. The impact of our personal mixed intentions, of course, can have terrible consequences. But we would be foolish to claim that the mixed motives are not part of our own human drama. Sabbath observance is one of the most honest and practical indicators of authentic religious faith, says Norman Wurzba. He goes on to comment that the extent and depth of our Sabbath commitment is the measure of how far we have progressed in our discipleship and our friendship with God. When we fail to observe the Sabbath, we miss out on the chance to experience creation and each other as God desires it. We forfeit the opportunity to live our days in modes of care, celebration, and delight, all marks of that very first Sabbath day. Perhaps Judas had lost touch, lost sight of, and forgotten how to ground himself in listening for the heartbeat of God, forgetting what God was actually up to in this world, a revolution of peace, of justice, of love, not of violence, not a revolution of power over and against, but a revolution of power with and for. In a particular tribal culture in Papua New Guinea, there is no word for hello. Whenever you see somebody, you simply say, "You are here." And the very straightforward answer is, "Yes, I am." "You are here." "Yes, I am." I wonder if learning to be here is the beginning of Sabbath practice, the practice of listening for the heartbeat of God. Where we are when we pray and when we practice Sabbath is an interesting question. Where are we? The answer is, we're right here. And we may find ourselves here and 1,000 other places in our minds. I should be elsewhere. I should be somebody else. I'm not who I say that I am. Father Padraig O'Tuma is a priest in Northern Ireland, and he says, "To begin where you are may take courage or compromise or painful truth-telling. Whatever it takes, it is wise to begin here. The only place to begin is where I am, and whether by desire or disaster, I am here. My being here is not dependent on my recognition of the fact. I'm here anyway. But it might help if I could learn to look around. During that final dinner between Jesus and his loved ones, being here was a complicated thing. An emotionally charged, mentally confusing, physically heavy kind of night, bringing with it so many questions. The scriptures tell us Jesus himself was troubled in spirit. The disciples were feeling the anxiety of the ambiguity and the confusion of that night. I find it incredibly beautiful that the thing that Jesus asked them to do every time they gathered after he was gone, to remember who he was and asking them to move forward in the kind of love that they were called to, he asked them to share a meal, like the one that we just shared together, a simple meal with the grains of the earth and the fruit of the vine. John, the beloved disciple, was learning how to be here with Jesus, how to be present in the midst of turmoil, by reclining right next to his centering force, listening for the heartbeats of God. Judas, whatever his mixed motives were, was doing the opposite, leaning away from that heartbeat, facing away from his centering source, unable to be here in the midst of such anxious ambiguity, wishing for revolution and immediate answers to his many questions. The greatest commandment that we may or may not be familiar with reminds us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Love of self is inherently assumed in this commandment, love of self. A traditional rabbinic view of the Sabbath relates that on the day of judgment, we will need to give an account for all of the times that we did not sufficiently celebrate the good gifts of God's creation. There are two modes of presence before God. There is a Sabbath presence, and there is an effort presence, a vocation, a work presence. That tension is evident in the life of Jesus. These two modes of rest and labor, rest and work, rest and effort. Those two modes can be reflected in how Jesus carried out his life. His life resounded with this thunderous yes to God and God's mission of reconciliation being carried out through him. Jesus lived and ministered only because he was in close communion with God, making the decision to say yes to God's greater mission of love and reconciliation at every juncture of his life. Still, Jesus had to make a choice to say yes and no. No to the temptations of fame and power and wealth. No to the comfort of his own home and the support of his hometown. No to popularity and acceptance. Jesus also found himself the opportunity to say yes to celebration, to feasting, to resting, to leisure. Abraham Joshua Heschel was a Polish-born American rabbi, and this was his take on Sabbath rest. Unless one learns to relish the taste of Sabbath while still in this world, unless one is initiated in the appreciation of eternal life, one will be unable to enjoy the taste of eternity in the world to come. Jesus was the self-proclaimed Lord of the Sabbath and really showed us how to relish the taste of the Sabbath. We are naive if we think that having wasted and squandered the many good gifts of this creation, that we will not do the same with the gifts of heaven. The practice of Sabbath rest in this view is a sort of training ground for the life of eternity, a preparation for the full reception and the full welcome of the presence of God. Jesus claims that wisdom is vindicated by her children. The wisdom of Sabbath rest is in the relished relationship to God, delighting first in our love of self, then in our love of neighbor, and finally in our love of God, the giver of good gifts. John very boldly called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. I wonder what it would look like if we all took on this posture of relating to God. What if we began to understand ourselves as Libby, the disciple that Jesus loves, Joan, the disciple that Jesus loves, Phil, the disciple that Jesus loves? And I wonder if we took on that posture of understanding ourselves as loved, if we would be able to take that vulnerable position of reclining right next to Jesus, to place our heads right there in the crook of his neck and listen for the heartbeats of God. A theologian once remarked that the glory of God is a human being fully alive. To know what it means to be fully alive, we must cooperate, participate, and devote ourselves to the God who loves us. We will never be fully alive as God created us to be without listening for that heartbeat. May we live into our identity as wisdom's children, vindicating her way of being in this world, children of God who know how to listen for that heartbeat, the heartbeat of our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer. May we become the kind of children who know what it is to relish the taste of God's good gifts right here, right now, open to the giver of good gifts. Let us listen quietly and restfully to what God is saying amongst us this morning. O God of compassion, would you teach us to pray courageously and simply, to be here, right here, open to you and your love in our world. Amen.
Thank you, Libby. As we get ready for our closing hymn, if there are anybody in our congregation that would like to come forward for confession of faith and transfer of membership, please feel free to do so at this time. Our closing hymn is number 601, I Am Thine, O Lord.
From me near.
Are there any other announcements that need to come before the congregation? Please remember we have coffee and treats downstairs. Please join us for a little fellowship at the end of service. Let us pray. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with us, wherever he may send us. May he guide us through the wilderness, protect us through the storm. May he bring us home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown. May he bring us home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.
Nam si fu mungu kwa.